Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 245, entitled Deutsche Telekom über alles, being recorded on August 20th of the year 2000. This is an update on German corporate control over the American media, a long series that I've been doing intermittently over the last several years. By the way, all of those other tapes, as well as the tape of this program, are available from Spitfire. Time permitting, I will tell you more about that at the end of the program. Now, bear in mind that Deutsche Telekom, which is now moving into the U.S. telecommunications market and which is in and of itself a major internet player, is 58, or according to some articles, 56 or 57% owned by the United States, by the German government, excuse me. Senator Ernest Hollings of South Carolina, among other senators, has introduced legislation to block the Deutsche Telekom purchase of VoiceStream, because the Deutsche Telekom company is basically a German government monopoly. It is owned primarily by the German government. Now, I noted in For the Record program 235, excerpted earlier in this broadcast, that the European Union had helped to block the WorldCom-Sprint merger, and now Deutsche Telekom is a target, both WorldCom and Sprint are targets of Deutsche Telekom, potentially for takeovers, noting, as I have so many times in the past, that Germany dominates the European Union, and that the European Union is the realization for the plans of world conquest of pan-German theoretician Friedrich Liest. More on the battle brewing, and that's almost literally the headline of this article that I'm about to read, but the battle between the EU and Washington over the Deutsche Telekom VoiceStream purchase. This from the Financial Times of London of Wednesday, July 26th of the year 2000. It's by Deborah Hargraves in Brussels and Peter Spiegel in Washington. It's headlined, Battle Brews Between EU and Washington, subtitled Trade. European Union warns Barshefsky over planned bill to block foreign government-owned companies from buying telephone licenses. And this reads in part as follows. The European Union has urged Washington to avoid a very damaging trade fight, unquote, over planned U.S. legislation that would block foreign government-owned companies from acquiring a U.S. telephone license. In a letter, Pascal Lamy, the EU's trade commissioner, urged Charlene Barshefsky, the U.S. trade representative, to resist such legislation and, quote, indicate clearly to the Congress the opposition of the U.S. administration to its adoption and, if necessary, the firm intention of the president to veto any such legislation, unquote. Senator Trent Lott, the Republican leader, is hoping to get the bill to a vote before Congress recesses for the political conventions on Friday. However, this was put in doubt yesterday when Senator John McCain, chairman of the powerful Commerce Committee, said he would block the bill unless the language on foreign government ownership was removed. By the way, note that in this regard, Bill Clinton and John McCain have weighed in on the same side of the issue. I'm sure that George W. Bush would weigh in on the very same side of the issue when he isn't addressing a very hungry caterpillar. That the child's book that he claims was his favorite read was published the year he graduated from Yale. But we'll perhaps deal with that in another broadcast. Please note again that the European Union and the European Monetary Union as vehicles for German corporate imperialism, and as the realization of the Friedrich Liest theories, bear in mind the Bormann organization, about which I've spoken so many times, the economic component of a Third Reich gone underground that controls corporate Germany. Bear in mind my observations on the coordinating of policy between German corporations in order to realize an agenda of world political and economic dominance. The German government, as well as the European Union, has been lobbying vociferously on behalf of Deutsche Telekom. Bear in mind that the German government controls Deutsche Telekom. It is a 50% in controlling interest in that firm. This from the Financial Times of London of Thursday, July 27th of the year 2000. This is an article by Ralph Atkins in Berlin, headlined, Berlin Steps In to Warn U.S. on Telecom Stance. Germany has warned Washington in exceptionally blunt terms that attempts by U.S. senators to block Deutsche Telekom's acquisition of VoiceStream, the U.S. mobile group, would violate international law and undermine world trade liberalization initiatives. Intervening for the first time in the escalating dispute, the Economics Ministry warns in a letter seen by the Financial Times that the proposed legislation, quote, would result in an obvious breach of legally binding obligations and specific commitments undertaken by the U.S., unquote. The letter, sent by Axel Gerlach, G-E-R-L-A-C-H, a state secretary in the ministry to Charlene Barshefsky, the U.S. trade representative, highlights the widespread anger within the German government over the bill, which is opposed by the Clinton administration and is not likely to come before Congress before September. Mr. Gerlach argues Germany has established, quote, a very liberal telecommunications market that features no restrictions on foreign ownership, unquote. Note that the European Union has threatened to withdraw from the World Trade Organization if, in fact, this deal goes through. Please note, we're going to get to the specific way in which Deutsche Telekom, quote, liberalized, unquote, its cable ownership for cable television inside of Germany. Please note, however, that discussion of watering down, unquote, the German government's stake in Deutsche Telekom from 58 or 57 or 56% is to be accomplished by basically using its stock as a vehicle for purchasing other corporations, and those purchases of other corporations are what are proposed as watering down vehicles. This would, of course, still give the German government a controlling interest in Deutsche Telekom. Bear in mind that the Bormann Group controls other German corporations, as well as the German government and Deutsche Telekom. And please note a couple of the companies that are being discussed as potential targets for Deutsche Telekom and as vehicles for the watering down of the official German government stake in that firm. Wall Street Journal of Friday, July 28th of the year 2000, has the following story by Nicole Harris and Dateline New York, and headlined, Deutsche Telekom's Zummer may seek another big telecommunications deal. Talking of the targets for Deutsche Telekom, the VoiceStream deal, which calls for Deutsche Telekom to pay 3.2 Deutsche Telekom shares plus $30 for each VoiceStream share, would dilute the German government's stake to 45.7%. Another large acquisition for the company, say Quest Communications International Incorporated of Denver, Finnish wireless concern Sonera Corporation, Global Crossing Limited of Bermuda, or, less likely, Sprint Corporation of Westwood, Kansas, could further dilute that stake, making it easier for Deutsche Telekom to meet that 25% threshold. By the way, the Hollings legislation would block any firm owned more than 25% by a government from buying an American telecommunications firm. More about potential corporate targets, which would still basically give German government a powerful say in this particular firm, and bear in mind that the Bormann Group would still be the dominant element of the company no matter which company Deutsche Telekom wound up buying. This from the New York Times of Friday, July 28th of the year 2000, an article by Simon Romero headlined, Deutsche Telekom may dilute German government stake, and skipping down, in the United States, a handful of large telecommunications companies have been mentioned as potential takeover targets for Deutsche Telekom, including WorldCom Incorporated, which recently failed in its bid to acquire the Sprint Corporation. Another one is, in Europe, Deutsche Telekom could try to buy Telefonica S.A. of Spain. Now, Telefonica is the parent company of web portal Lycos, which has a deal with Bertelsmann. It's a cinch that Bertelsmann will have preferred content on Deutsche Telekom's web portals, whether they wind up buying Telefonica or not. So again, please note the use of German corporations in a manner analogous to the divisions in a conquering army. The German corporatist policy for conquest is something that I've noted in numerous broadcasts, and again, one should bear in mind the Serpent's Walk scenario, the other broadcast dealing with German corporate control over the American media, and the many broadcasts that I've done talking about the Bormann Organization as well. Now, I can appreciate that there may be X number of listeners in the audience who are sort of rolling their heads and saying, oh, there goes Dave again talking about, you know, German corporations and the Bormann Group and control of the American media. Come on, Dave, World War II was a long time ago. Well, the past is never dead and buried. It isn't even past. And note in the following, this is an article from the L.A., actually an op-ed column from the L.A. Times of Wednesday, July 26th of the year 2000, and note who's writing this particular op-ed column. It's someone named A. Michael Knoll, last name N-O-L-L, And A. Michael Knoll is a professor and former dean at USC's Annenberg School for Communication. This particular op-ed column, again in the LA Times, 7/26/2000, is headlined, A Big Nine to Deutsche Telekom, subtitled Telecommunications. Germany still doesn't have a completely open market. And skipping down, there are policy reasons, however, to oppose this acquisition, because Deutsche Telekom is, in effect, a subsidiary of the German government and is actively expanding and acquiring other telecommunications firms in Germany and around the globe. These acquisitions are being done in the name of globalization, but that is simply a politically correct term for the colonialism and imperialism of the past. And talking about the stock aspect of it, the stock of Deutsche Telekom thus is overvalued since much of it is held by the German government and is not on the open market. It is this overvalued stock that will fund the proposed acquisition of VoiceStream. And I would note that it may very well fund the acquisitions of other American telecommunications firms as well. More on the German government stake in Deutsche Telekom and the proposed watering it down by using that overvalued stock to buy other corporations. This from the New York Times of Monday, July 24th of the year 2000. This is an article by Edmund L. Andrews. It's headlined, Deutsche Telekom Deal. Did barriers fall in Europe just to rise in the U.S.? And it reads in part as follows. At first blush, the reasoning of the Hollingskamp seems straightforward. The German government still owns about 57% of Deutsche Telekom, and Senator Hollings argues that the government could subsidize unfair competition or use its regulatory power to favor Deutsche Telekom in Germany over foreign rivals. The fears are not entirely misplaced. Germany, along with most other European countries, has a history of impeding competition. And note in that particular regard what Deutsche Telekom has done with the selling off of its cable properties in Germany. Now, bear in mind also the Bormann Organization, about which I've spoken so many times in the past. That organization controls corporate Germany, and we've gone into that control many, many times. And please note that whenever one is dealing with corporate Germany, one is dealing with the Bormann Group. Note in particular their pattern of using small individuals to act as fronts for their capital interests. They then put forth the venture capital to get these individuals projected into the business world, and they then control those particular individuals. This is discussed in the seminal broadcast that I did about the Bormann Organization, simply entitled The Bormann Organization, and that will be, by the way, available from Spitfire on a permanent basis before too much longer. Note in the context of Deutsche Telekom's moving into the American telecommunications market, and note the statements by not only EU members but also by German government ministers that Germany has an open telecommunications market, and also note the fears on the part of American legislators, including Ernest Hollings and others, that in fact Deutsche Telekom and its move into the American telecommunications market would not only be anti-competitive but would also possibly threaten American national security. We're going to talk about that later in the program. The New York Times of Wednesday, July 26th of the year 2000, had another article by Edmund L. Andrews. This is datelined Frankfurt, Germany, of July 21st, and it's about the selling off of the cable units in Germany. And note how Deutsche Telekom operated here, because this is a paradigm that one should understand. Note also A. Michael Knoll, a professor and former dean at USC's Annenberg School of Communications, and his views on German corporate imperialism. By the way, Annenberg is a relatively conservative institution. This article by Edmund L. Andrews is entitled Deutsche Telekom's Sideshow, subtitled Selling Cable Units to Small Fry to Keep the Sharks at Bay. The article reads in part as follows. Richard J. Callahan started his career in stringing telephone lines in South Dakota in the 1960s. Now he is stringing together cable television systems in Europe, and he may soon be one of its biggest operators. To the astonishment, if not anger, of many rivals, Mr. Callahan recently outmaneuvered a number of European companies in acquiring Germany's biggest cable television system from Deutsche Telekom. he is well on his way to acquiring a second system from Telecom, the former government monopoly. Mr. Callahan's venture is a local sideshow to Deutsche Telekom's far more prominent effort to buy VoiceStream, a cellular telephone company in the United States. But it offers an important glimpse into what some see as Deutsche Telekom's efforts to insulate itself from competition at home, even as it seeks to expand abroad. If all goes according to plan, Mr. Callahan and his partners will serve about one-third of Germany's 17 million cable customers by the end of this year. And, like a number of other cable operators, Mr. Callahan has big plans for upgrading his systems to offer telephone service, high-speed access to the Internet, and interactive television. But looming over all these plans is the giant shadow of Deutsche Telekom itself. The upgraded systems would compete directly with Deutsche Telekom, which has insisted on keeping a 45% stake in each cable system. Note that that's the exact figure to which the Deutsche Telekom stock in the German government stock in Deutsche Telekom will be watered down by using that overvalued stock to purchase other companies. Continuing. Indeed, other aspiring bidders complain that the German company went out of its way to make sure the cable systems would be too fragmented to pose a serious threat. Some go further, arguing that Deutsche Telekom intentionally picked buyers who would be the least likely to cause it competitive heartburn. When Deutsche Telekom announced plans to sell its cable systems 2 years ago, more than 35 companies expressed interest. Today, all but a handful of these companies have either dropped out or have been deemed unqualified by Deutsche Telekom executives. Indeed, the only people who have actually bought a system so far are Mr. Callahan and a secretive American financier named Gary A. Klesch, K-L-E-S-C-H. Even more striking, executives on all sides say that Deutsche Telekom selected Mr. Callahan's bid, even though it was lower than one from the investment arm of Deutsche Bank. Quote, "It's pretty clear that Deutsche Telekom wanted to keep as much control of these systems as it could," unquote, said Paul Thomason, chief financial officer of Primacon, Germany's fourth-largest cable operator, whose bids were also rejected. Skipping down. From the beginning, however, Deutsche Telekom executives have made it clear they are worried about somebody transforming the cable systems into a nationwide rival of the phone company. To block potential buyers from establishing a nationwide network, the German telephone giant divided its national network into 9 regions. It also insisted on retaining a 45% stake in each of the systems, which is enough under German law to veto mergers and perhaps capital increases as well. Skipping down. "For us, it is not interesting just to get the best price," Mr. Lissick said. That's Ulrich Lissick, a spokesman for Deutsche Telekom. L-I-S-S-E-K is his name. Continuing, "The best price says nothing about the future of the company, nothing about the targets of the owner, and nothing about the future of the employees." Those arguments are believable, unquote, by the way. Those arguments are believable when applied to Mr. Callahan, but they strain credibility when applied to the other big winner in the cable auctions, Mr. Klesch. Now, looking in the background of this, a knowledgeable and experienced observer should see the hand of the Bormann Group behind Mr. Klesch here. Unlike Mr. Callahan, Mr. Klesch has no experience in running cable television systems or any other kind of communications business. As founder of Klesch & Company in London, he spent much of the last decade investing in the securities of financially troubled European ventures like the Channel Tunnel. Despite Mr. Klesch's lack of experience, telecom executives selected him to buy a system that serves more than 1 million subscribers in Hesse, the prosperous state that includes Frankfurt. As soon as that deal closed, the company picked Mr. Klesch to enter exclusive negotiations for 2 other systems in Lower Saxony and in Eastern Germany. Mr. Klesch remains a mystery to most people in the industry and refused to return numerous calls requesting an interview. He appears to operate out of a small office in London with a handful of employees. He has been secretive about his sources of financing, but a prospectus for a new junk bond offering earlier this month disclosed that he recently sold a 35% stake in his German venture to NTL Communications, which owns cable systems in Britain. And again, although one can certainly not say for sure that Mr. Klesch is financed by the Bormann Group, that is the type of individual and that is the type of situation that one in which one should look for the hand of the Bormann Group, or behind which one should look for the hand of the Bormann Group. And it would be very, very interesting to know if, in fact, Mr. Klesch's mysterious sources of financing are, in fact, the remarkable and deadly Bormann organization about which I've spoken so many times. It's also worth taking a noting here what law firm is being selected by Deutsche Telekom to lobby its position in Washington. This is from the Wall Street Journal of Friday, July 21st of the year 2000. This is an article by Wall Street Journal staff reporters William Boston in Bonn and Jill Carroll in Washington. It's headlined, Deutsche Telekom Lobbies But Mildly in Washington. And skipping down, only recently did the company hire a law firm with the swagger to open doors in D.C., signing up Wilmer, Cutler, and Pickering to represent it, skipping down. Mr. Zomer has said of this, the purchase of VoiceStream, we are not coming as invaders, he said in a telephone interview yesterday. I would say that is open to debate. And skipping down again, Democratic Senator Ernest F. Hollings of South Carolina is urging the Federal Communications Commission to block any acquisition by Deutsche Telekom, which he calls, quote, a monopoly owned by the German government that operates from a protected home market, unquote. And skipping down again, if Deutsche Telekom is biding its time, the same can't be said for the German government. Alerted by a stern warning letter from the German ambassador in Washington last week, senior German foreign ministry and economics ministry officials have had talks about the Hollings letter and Deutsche Telekom with their counterparts at the State Department and the FCC, according to Berlin officials. Now, note again that the law firm of Wilmer, Cutler, and Pickering has been signed to handle the lobbying for Deutsche Telekom's position in Washington. We spoke about Wilmer, Cutler, and Pickering in For the Record program number 139, and Wilmer, Cutler, and Pickering in turn had signed a German government minister as a partner, and Wilmer, Cutler, and Pickering has been involved in some very interesting activities indeed. That former German transport minister is named Matthias Wissmann, and we're going to excerpt For the Record program number 139 in order to hear more not only about Wilmer, Cutler, and Pickering and its signing on a former German cabinet minister as a partner, but also some of the previous cases that Wilmer, Cutler, and Pickering has handled on behalf of German industry. This again is excerpted from For the Record program number 139. Again, this from the Financial Times of London of 3-2-1999. This is an article headlined, Wissmann Joins Washington Firm. Matthias Wissmann, W-I-S-S-M-A-N-N, the treasurer of Germany's CDU opposition party and a former transport minister, has become a partner of the Washington law firm of Wilmer, Cutler, and Pickering, in one of the most dramatic attempts yet by U.S. lawyers to export their regulatory expertise to Europe. The firm is best known in Europe for its role in representing the Swiss banks when they were sued in the U.S. over their alleged confiscation of assets belonging to Holocaust survivors. It is now working for several German companies being sued over their use of slave labor during the Second World War. By the way, the CDU party is the party that was in power for some 16 years. Helmut Kohl is a member of the CDU-CSU coalition. And so please note this is a very, very significant figure for Wilmer, Cutler, and Pickering to be taking on. And again, he's a former transport minister of Germany. And note that this company is now working for several German, this law firm, I should say, is now working for several German companies being sued over their use of slave labor during the Second World War. Skipping down, senior lawyers at Wilmer Cutler believe it, beginning again, senior lawyers at Wilmer Cutler make it clear they believe Europe could be a big market for them, pointing to the lead that Brussels is already taking in privacy issues and to the difficulty some U.S. mergers have had in gaining EU clearance. That again is excerpted from For the Record program number 139 from the early spring of 1999. So note again the role of Matthias Wissmann as a partner with Wilmer, Cutler, and Pickering, and the fact that that firm had handled lawsuits against Swiss banks for confiscating assets of Holocaust victims, many of those Swiss banks tied in with the Bormann Group, as we've looked at in numerous broadcasts. They also are handling the slave labor lawsuits for several major German corporations. Now, we're going to return to an article that I read earlier in this, that I excerpted earlier in this broadcast. This is from the LA Times of July 25th of the year 2000. This is an article by Jube Shiver Jr., S-H-I-V-E-R, headline, Lawmakers Seek to Block Sale of Voice Stream. And skipping down in this article, Larry Darby, who presided over regulation of the U.S. telephone industry for the FCC, said, it's a stretch to argue that this deal threatens national security when Germany is one of our closest allies. Note again, one. Now, bearing in mind some of my earlier caveats about the Oklahoma City bombing and Gunter and Andrea Strassmeyer, by the way, of the same CDU that Matthias Wissmann belongs to, let's listen to the following excerpt from For the Record program number 235 from July 9th of the year 2000, again entitled Transatlantic Machinations of the Fourth Reich. Note also that there's a very close relationship between corporate Germany and the German intelligence community, and beyond that, between corporate Germany and the Bormann Group. If, in fact, Deutsche Telekom purchases an American telecommunications company, in particular an American long-distance carrier, you will then have the BND and the Bormann Group and the Underground Reich checking your email, because the BND works very closely with corporate Germany, as does the Bormann Group. So just think about that. Think about the Bormann Group checking your email, and think about the upcoming Deutsche Telekom purchase of an American telecommunications company. Which one it turns out to be remains to be seen, but that will certainly be a very interesting state of affairs. That again from For the Record program number 235. Now, jumping to the present, this from the Financial Times of London of Tuesday, July 25th of the year 2000, article by Andrew Bounds in San Salvador, headlined, France Telecom subsidiary faces phone tapping probe. A subsidiary of France Telecom is being investigated for phone tapping in El Salvador. CTE, the Central American country's dominant fixed-line operator, has already been fined $59,300 by the regulator for intervening in telephone calls. Now, the Attorney General is looking to see if conversations were bugged. The revelations come as the U.S. Congress examines proposals to restrict ownership of telecommunications companies by groups more than 25% owned by foreign governments on national security grounds. The Federal Bureau of Investigation has warned that such ownership would make it easier for governments to spy on the U.S. and harder for it to obtain wiretaps. El Salvador's regulator, CEGET, found that phone calls to 13 numbers were rerouted by CTE's central computer using a special code, B9, which indicates intervention, unquote, in the call. Skipping down, the issue is highly charged because of El Salvador's history. During the Civil War of the 1980s, CTE, then called Antel, was run by the armed forces and routinely tapped phones despite the ban according to Mr. Ortega. After 1992 peace accords, the company passed into civilian hands, but Orlando de Sola, a former head of CEGET, said a unit of around 40 people responsible for phone tapping moved to the presidential palace to work for OIE, the State Intelligence Service. The Arena party that formed the government during the war in 1989 is still in power. Skipping down, the opposition Farabundo Martí National Liberation Front, the former left-wing guerrilla movement, has asked for ex-presidents Armando Calderón Sol and Alfredo Cristiani to testify to Congress on the issue. So please note some of my fears about allowing a foreign company to dominate American telecommunications, and note that France Telecom has significant capital participation by Deutsche Telekom. Reading now and concluding the broadcast with this article from the Financial Times of Wednesday, May 24th of the year 2000. This is an article entitled Telecommunications, French and German Link Until 2002. Skipping down, under the agreement, France Telecom will have an option to purchase the 2% stake held in it by Deutsche Telekom at any time between January 1, 2002 and January 31, 2003. 2%, by the way, is a very significant capital participation and could have significant impact on the stock of any given company if it were sold. So please note my caveats from For the Record 235. That concludes For the Record 245. This is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.